one station making history every day.
Chicago, Chicago.
Now, Don, Wade, and Roma.
89.
Bruce Wolf and Jonathan Honig sitting in for Don, Wade, and Roma. Coming up, we're going to be talking to, they're beating the Heaton Wheaton.
In a kind of amazing way, too. Right. Making some history.
They're going to have a human cannon in Wheaton today. They're going to brave the heat. We'll talk to a woman about that coming up. But right now, let's talk to our friend Stephen Tucker, the Illinois Tea Party healthcare team leader. Good morning, Stephen. Happy July 4th weekend to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Because God knows if the heat doesn't kill us, Obamacare most certainly will, right, Stephen? That's a given.
Yes, that's my concern.
And there is news. Mitt Romney is embracing the Chief Justice's view of that it's a tax and it's not a penalty. And actually, he's counteracting what his own aide, Mitt Romney's aide, had said that it was a penalty. I think he sent this aide out. It's the same aide who's made the Etch-a-Sketch comment a while back. So he tests these things, decides it doesn't really work. And so he's going to embrace the Chief Justice's view. But who cares what the Supreme Court has to say, Stephen? It all comes down to whether Obamacare is good for this country. And it isn't, right?
It is not. And I'm glad that Mr. Romney is embracing the fact that it is a tax. We all knew this was a tax. In fact, the CBO in 2009 said it would be the largest increase on the middle class in U.S. history, totaling $4.2 billion, or about $4,600 more a year per taxpayer. So we saw this study before this legislation even passed. And now that the Supreme Court has said that indeed it is a tax, although, of course, the Supreme Court, thanks to one man, has now created a brand new taxing power for the federal government that was nowhere in the enumerated powers, it is the tax for doing nothing. That has never existed before, but of course he decided to do it because he wanted to make sure he saved the act.
Well, let's not quibble about constitutional law, the finer points, but let's talk about our pocketbooks right now. And, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about Obamacare, and I can't believe it because I even hear conservatives, and it's heresy. Well, you know, I want to keep my kids until they're 26, and there's this good thing, and what about pre-existing conditions? And, you know, Stephen...
let me just knock that out of the way first, okay? Number one, most states in our union allow children to stay on their plans until they were 26 and as long as age 30 if they were in the military for many, many years before Obamacare passed. The only difference is that with Obamacare, you do not have to be attending college. That is the only difference. So that is not a new concept. Secondly, pre-existing conditions. It must be understood by all people listening that pre-existing conditions were created by Congress. They were not created by insurance companies. Back in about 14 years ago in 96, there was a law called the Federal HIPAA Law passed. And when most people hear HIPAA, they think of privacy. But there's a far more important clause called portability in the HIPAA legislation. And that law has protected 90% of the American insured for 14 years. And it has worked beautifully. And how do we know it's worked beautifully? Because those of us who have group health insurance, we've maintained coverage for at least 18 months with an employer, and we lose that coverage, we have 63 days under federal HIPAA law to find a new group health insurance policy. If we do so within that time frame, then the new group health insurance policy has to cover all of our pre-existing conditions. And even if you pass that 63-day window, then you wait the same amount of days, let's say it's 64 days, before your new group policy covers all of your pre-existing conditions. So where we came up with pre-existing conditions is when the omnipotent rulers in D.C. passed that law, they didn't extend any portability protection to individual policyholders. And so those people can be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions. But we didn't need a 2,700-page healthcare law to fix that. We just needed to add one sentence to HIPAA law. And,
and, And Stephen, it's Jonathan Honig. Thanks for being with us this morning. I mean, it seems like adding and adding and adding to health insurance and healthcare regulations in this country is the only direction in which we've been going in. I mean, as I understand it, even before Obamacare was passed, government was involved with over half of healthcare spending in this country. Of course, that's going to go up in addition. So, I mean, it almost seems if whether you want to call it a tax or a penalty, this accomplished what the Democrats' initial goal was, which was a socializing of healthcare in this country. And as the Democrats seem to confirm that, they said, we don't care whether we get it this way or that way. We want to establish healthcare as a right. We want to make healthcare as a socialized right in this country. They've seemed to have succeeded.
Yeah, well, healthcare is a commodity. It's not a right. Free speech is a right. Anybody who thinks healthcare is a right is crazy. Number two, yes, this is their goal. If you pull up on YouTube, you can see our president giving a speech to the SEIU that single payer is our goal. We won't get there right away, but we're going to get there. And how they get there is by bankrupting the majority of the health insurance carriers.
Right, and then they'll say, oh, the free market doesn't work.
Wait a minute.
Markets don't work. We need help. We need government to do this because free markets don't work.
Hold on there a second. Aren't I going to be able to keep my insurance through my employer just like President Obama said I would?
Well, let me just tell you, we have lost. I've been doing this 17 years. So I'm a health insurance broker, over 10 states. And I have had so many clients lose their health insurance coverage because of the medical loss ratios that kicked in on September 23rd, 2010. And those medical loss ratios stated that if you are a health insurance company and you underwrite more than 50 people, you must reduce your operating margin, not your profit margin, your operating margin down to 15%. And what happened with most carriers is that they either fired employees, as Humana did right away, or we lost health insurance carriers. So far, we've lost 20 of them. And when they go out of business, unfortunately, people lose their coverage. If premiums go up by 46%, if my Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois clients have received those increases since then their employees lose coverage because the group plan is terminated. And it is because, as Jonathan said so correctly, every time government sticks its big foot into the private sector, it ends up raising premiums. If you go back to 1979, we had 279 mandates on all carriers in this country. We now have post-Obamacare 2,100.
And they blame freedom every step of the way. They say freedom doesn't work. The free markets don't work. We need more government control. And, of course, control breeds even more control and less service.
And, Stephen Tucker, we thank you so much. Thank you for smashing all the myths.
He's really fighting the good fight.
Obamacare.
From the Illinois Tea Party, he is the team leader. He's doing a great job.
But we're embracing Mitt Romney's concept and Chief Justice Roberts' concept that it is a tax. Because a tax is a tax. And that's a nice way of framing it. Thanks so much, Steve Tucker. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Stephen Tucker, the Illinois Tea Party healthcare team leader. When we come back, I believe we're going to be talking to somebody from Wheaton who's going to be braving the heat tonight, trying to set a world record.
89 WLS.